Whiz for games. School, according to Headmaster's Pie-Jaw, is like life. Chiz. If that is the case, what is the use of going on? There must be give and take, fair weather and foul, triumph and disaster, but he do not give the exact proportions. Anyway, finally he come to it. There must be work. Yes, but work and play. You have guessed what is coming next. It is inevitable. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I don't know about Jack, but in my case it is certainly not that which have made me dull. It is all play and no work. But let it pass. Headmasters have to have some sort of excuse for games, so that they can drive all boys and masters out into the foul and filthy air, while they stir the coals into a blaze and settle down with one of the gangster books they have confiscated. In the last 5 minutes they appear on the touchline and shout, "Get into him, Molesworth, get into him!" It is all very well. I am cold and covered with mud. The only thing I want to get into is a bath. Ha ha. Cricket. There is only one thing in cricket, and that is the straight bat.
"Keep your bat straight, boy, and all will be right in life as in cricket,"
so headmasters say. But when my bat is straight, I still get bowled. Is that an omen? Chiz. Actually, I usually prefer to have a slosh. I get bowled just the same, but it is more satisfactory. For the reason that it is extremely difficult to hit the ball with a straight bat, or not, cricket matches are a bit of a strain. When you are a new bug or a junior in the third game, it's all right, because then you can sit around the boundary and keep the score in a notebook. When you get tired with that, which is about 3 minutes, you can begin to tough up your friends and neighbours, who look so sweet and angelic in their clean white cricket shirts. Hem, hem. This is super. You look up long enough to say, "Good shot, Grabber!" or "Couldn't hit a squash tomato," and then back to the fray. But it is a funny thing. When you grow bigger, you always get into a cricket team. You cannot avoid it. Chiz. Tremble, tremble, you arrive and see the pitch, which is 2,388 miles approx from the pavilion. Captain win toss. And choose to bat. Chiz, 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 chiz. Moan, drone, tremble, tremble. You sit with white face, and with every bode's knees knocking together, it sound like a coconut shy. What is the pleasure of it, eh? I would like to know. Give me a thumbscrew or slow fire every time. When your turn come, the following things can happen. A. You lose your bat. B. You faint dead away. C. Your trousers fall down. D. You trip over your shoelaces. Captain then come up to you and say, "Block everything, Molesworth, and do not slosh. We need six to win." When he say this, all the things above happen all at once. They revive you with a bucket of water and drive you out to the wicket. This is not, as you guessed, 2,388 miles away. It is 6,000 now, and they have men with gats covering all the exits, so you cannot run away. At the wicket. Of course, it is the fast bowler you have to face. He is waiting there at the other end of the pitch, looking very fierce. Umpire is V kind. He can afford to be. He have not got the bat. He say, "We are very pleased to see you. Do make yourself at home. Of course you would like a guard. What guard would you like us to give you?" "Come again." "I will give you centre. Hold your bat up straight. To you a trifle. Now away again. That is centre. Your position is 120 miles north-northeast of Beachy Head. You may come in and land. There are 5 balls to come. At the 5th pip it will be 4.2 precisely. Abel Baker out.
Play."
Fast bowler retreat with the ball, muttering and cursing. He stamp on the grass with his great hairy feet. He beat his chest and give great cry. Then, with a trumpet of rage, he charge towards you. Quake, quake, ground tremble, birdseed fly in all directions. If only you can run away. But it is not done. Grit teeth, close eyes. Ball, hit your pads and everyone go mad. "Out that, sir, out that, was he out, was he out, out, sir, out, was he out?" Umpire look for a long time. He is bent double. At last he lift one finger. He is a different man now from the kindly old gentleman who made you feel at home. His voice is harsh.
Out. No arguments. Get cracking. Take that expression off your face. On course at 20,000 feet. Return to base. Out.
Distance back to pavilion is now 120,000 miles, and all the juniors say, Yaboo, Sarks couldn't hit a squash tomato. It is no use saying you are not out by a mile. Team give you the treatment behind the pav just the same. There is only one consolation. You can give it up when you grow up. Then you rustle the paper and say, What a shocking show by the MCC, most deplorable, a lot of rabbits, etc., etc. Well, you know how they go on. Enough. Football. Football is a tough game, but it is a pity you cannot win by hacking every bode. You have to be nippy. You have also to be agile, cunning, alert, scheming, courageous, and imbecile. But there are a few of us who are only imbeciles. Cheers, cheers, cheers! And just do what we can to play our humble part in that well-oiled footballing machine, which is the St. Custard's 11, i.e. throw mudcakes at Fotherington Thomas, encourage school dog to trip referee, and discuss influence of T.S. Eliot on 20th century drama with a few progressive thinking players of like interests. Matches. St. Custard's was agog with excitement on the day of the match with their great rivals, Porridge Court. First, the Porridge Court team arrive. They all look like giants, tough, tough, but with blue knees. They have a keen master with them who say,
Warm up, knees bend, got your coshes, each of you get to your man and maim him. Here are your gloves, goalkeeper. The lady's inside.
He then go to the touchline to cheer and exhort. The rest of St. Custard's then arrive, saying, Yaboo sucks, while masters lash them with knouts. They are then herded at pistol point and made to sing a St. Custard's cheer. Boom walla, geese walla, St. Custard's, hooray! Beep! The shrill whistle go. Keats. The match begin. Headmasters charge up and down the touchline, bellowing at the tops of their voices.
Come on, Porridge Court, let's have a goal. Pile into your men. Mark 'em, Crosby, Kershaw, Parkinson. Mark your man. Foul. Send him off. On again, Porridge Court, etc., etc., etc.
It's a funny thing, though. Your side always gets beaten, whichever school you are at. That is like life, I suppose. Fotherington Thomas skips about when he is goalie. Hello, trees, hello, birds, etc. He love only bountiful nature. And perhaps he is right. A few moments in the underworld. It is no use. Soon or late it has to come. You must talk about your fellow sufferers, e.g. the boys with whom you are forced to mingle. Some are strong, others are weedy, so it's quite simple. If boys are strong, you say, Gosh, Grabber, it was too bad you made a duck at cricket. It was dash bad luck you happened to make a blind swipe and thereby lost the match. The ball was a googly, which had you not closed your eyes tight, you might have seen. Tact. If a boy is weedier than you, it is different. You say, Look at the little baby, made a duck, little baby, couldn't hit a flea. This is the get tough policy. Of course, weedy boys always rely on words, e.g., How many did you make last time, Molesworth? Naught. Yaboo, sucks, LBW, I suppose, the old story. I would not spank if I were you. After all, some are selected, others are not. Some have an aptitude for the game, others just slog. Slogging never got anyone anywhere. This is the time when you spring upon him mightily and prove that cricket may be all very well, but not very realistic in the modern world where anyone may, next moment, be going to Mars. But I digress. Hem, hem. Boys fall into a lot of types, which are all repulsive, as I shall make clear. Cads. Cads have always a grandmother who is the Duchess of Blank. Hem, hem. They are inclined to cheat at conkers, having baked them for 300 years in the ancestral ovens. These conkers belong to the National Trust. They are so tough. And if you strike one, your new conker fly into a million, million, million bits. In this case, there is nothing to do about it except to smile. Cads say, What school are you going to? You say, Well, it is one of the lesser-known public schools. It is called Grunts. It is in Devonshire, and my pater thinks that because it is okay for sons of retired clergymen, I will be okay. To Eton for you, I suppose. It is always Eton, and good luck to them. They go to a good show in spite of the fog. Eton is a small paradise in the Thames Valley. New bugs who arrive there are met by the maitre d'hotel, who say, "Welcome, sir. We have to put you in suite number 2. This is only temporary, sir, you understand. No bathroom, no shower. Your toothpaste will be waiting for you frozen in the wash-basin." You must have patience. In 3 years, you can despise every bode, the lot. If you are lucky, you can even call the matron a dame, which takes a bit of doing. Cheers, cheers, whiz, whiz. Less than no marks to the dear old school. Imagine me in a topper, eh? Gosh. Goody goodies. There is no better example of a goody goody than Fotherington Thomas in The World in Space. You know, he's the one who say, "Hello, clouds, hello, sky," and skip about like a girly. I mean, you are just zooming about taking pot shots at various new bugs with your catapult when Fotherington Thomas say, "Do you think you should be doing that, Molesworth? Is it kind? Can you not hear the shrieks of agony?" To which I reply, "If I had a germ gun, I would blast them with 5 trillion bacterial volts, so they're going off lightly." But somehow the pleasure has gone. Goody-goodies believe in fairies, Father Christmas, Peter Pan, etc., and unlike most boys, they are kind to their sisters. Lots of boys are unfortunate enough to have weedy sisters, which must be worse even than having Molesworth 2 for a bro. You can imagine what goes on in the Fotherington Thomas home. Arabella Fotherington Thomas, who is knitting 5,000 yards of woolen reins.
"I am so glad our cottage is called Sweet Lavender."
Fotherington Thomas, looking up from his story about Wee Tim in Chatterbox.
"So am I. There are brownies living in the dustbin. I saw one this morning."
Arabella.
"Hurrah! That makes me feel happy."
FT.
"Sing me your school song, Arabella."
Arabella. At once.
"Ho for bat, ho for ball, ho for hockey and lax and all. Miss Dennis is strict, Miss Hamilton fair, but Miss Peabody Jim is both strict and tall."
There is a mighty racket outside. Molesworth hammers on the door. "Open in the name of Beelzebub!" But so great is the noise of the school song that no one come. So what is there left for me to do? I climb into the fairy coach, whip up the mice into a gallop and zoom away. Sneaks.
Everyone know what sneaks are. They are unspeakable. But they abound in every school. E.g., I am just cutting up my bungie under cover of the blotch in preparation for all-out barrage when sneaks say,
"Ooh, look at what Molesworth is doing behind his blotch, sir." The master look up dreamily from his novel of love and passion. He sees nothing. His eyes are glazed. He is still with the hero and girl in the desert. Besides, he may not want to think what I am doing behind the blotch. It might be more than his delicate nerves can take.
"He is cutting up his india rubber, sir, in contravention of School Rule 66C, para 3.
The master come to earth.
"I suppose that is true, Molesworth,"
he say. He stretches languidly for the punishment book.
"The usual, Molesworth. Put it away and get on."
This is the signal for the whole class to sizzle like a steam engine, saying, "Sneak, sneak, sneak." Sneak looks highly delighted with himself and put out his tongue. He will be the on-sec of a tennis club when he grow up, and serve him right. No fate is too bad. Master give long sigh and take up his novel again. The beautiful Lydia Parkington is better than J. Caesar, so I do not blame him.